Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Red hot comic book movie news, shooting up your butthole. The Weekly Planet, The Weekly Planet.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, official podcast of comicbookmovie.com. My name is James, editor at comicbookmovie.com. With me, as always, my co-host, Nick Mason.
You bloody baboon!
The best line in any Planet of the Apes
Absolutely.
Series.
Absolutely. Yeah, we've peaked at this point. We could probably quit now. Did you get a promotion?
Oh, everybody got a promotion. Whoa. There's no junior editors or anything. They've kind of done a bit of an overhaul with the editors, and now everybody's an editor.
So there's nobody below you now?
No. Well, you are, but...
Oh, so I can be a junior editor now.
That's right.
Oh, I can be the copy boy.
Oh, imagine.
Put my little cap on.
Fetching stuff.
Yep.
It'd be amazing.
Amazing.
Shall we get straight into barely the news?
Yeah, absolutely.
We're going to call it that from now on.
That probably,
was it, wasn't
probably
it?
The news. I don't
probably
know.
Probably the
called.
News.
Somebody will know. Email in and remind us what the name of this segment is called.
That's right. Please do. Well, we got to talk the new Man of Steel suit, don't we, Mason?
Well, we don't have any Shia LaBeouf news, so legally we're required to.
Yep. Though, he did go into rehab this week, which is sad, but also good that he's getting some help.
Absolutely.
Because he's clearly losing his mind.
Correct.
So, good luck, LaBeouf.
Yeah. We've always been on your side, and we always will be.
So, yeah,
Man of Steel news. Yeah. Okay.
What do you think?
There's a new costume out.
They released a Clark Kentish looking one. Well, it was Clark Kent earlier this week.
Uh-huh.
Without glasses, just kind of like an old fashioned kind of.
Just Clark Kenting around?
Yeah, it looked like a kind of a 1940s kind of journalisty kind of.
So Christopher Reeve?
Yeah, and probably even more so. Like,
is he wearing a waistcoat?
Like more of a woolen kind of coat.
Ah.
You know, like they kind of wore.
How did I miss this one? Is it because I don't pay attention to the comic book news at all? And I wait for you to tell me all the news? Is that the reason that
Who
I didn't
knows?
See this?
I can yeah. show you. How
Please
you
do. Okay.
He's got no glasses in it, though, so I know you'll hate that.
Your iPad still has the tappy-tap noise in it.
I got to take that thing off, sorry.
It's just you and my dad, whose iDevices still make the tappy-tap
We've
noise.
We've got a Facebook group.
Great.
Here we go, I'll show you.
Okay.
That's come out like shit. This is a really bad version of it, but there you go.
Okay. Oh, yeah, okay. He's kind of like a journalist/aviator kind
yeah.
of thing. Okay, interesting.
Sure. Because I know you've got thoughts on clothing and texture and fabric.
I do. He's wearing. Where's the t-shirt from?
I don't know.
It's got a Serco logo on it. Don't care for that.
What's a Serco?
It's a security firm that own private prisons.
Oh, really?
Let's edit this out.
I thought it'd be something fun.
It's
it
not.
Sounds
it's
fun.
Not. They're contributing to the military industrial complex around the world.
Well.
Henry Cavill, you jerk.
But yeah, the Superman suit, though, importantly, I
okay.
guess. Yeah, what do you
Maybe
think?
It's my really, really old eyes, but I don't see that much of a difference
there's not,
between...
You're right, though. There's not that much of a difference. I did a video on it on my YouTube channel Sunday Fun Times.
That's the one.
Yeah. But yeah, there's some slight differences in the lines around the kind of the torso and the wrists. The
right.
colouring's a little different.
It's lighter, probably.
I think
Are
it's
they
lighter.
Aiming... Because I think they'll probably need to... There's going to need to be more contrast between the Bat suit and the Superman
Absolutely.
Suit.
Absolutely.
And since the Man of Steel costume is quite dark, they're going to lighten that baby up.
That's it.
Probably.
Big time.
Mm.
I don't think there'll be a logo on the back again, because they don't do that. They didn't do that for Superman Returns either, did they?
Who's to say, really?
They had logos everywhere else, though.
He had them on the back of his heels.
Back of his heels, in the little S. There was on the belt.
Yep.
everywhere.
So many S's.
Shaved into the back of his head. Yep. Just everywhere.
Vanilla Ice style.
That's it. He looks bigger as well.
Even bigger than he was.
Yeah, I don't know whether that's... I'm imagining it.
But they would have had to add, like extra, like, struts under his armpits. Yeah, and then, then arrange more muscle around him. Because he was... To barrel that man in a good way.
Ridiculous. Yeah. Do you say in a good way?
Yeah, in a good way.
Well, right. You're right. I guess they're both kind of going for that hulking kind of superhero kind of thing. Because a lot of people complain that people aren't as big as they look in the comics.
Right.
Like, I've heard that complaint about Magneto. Like, why isn't Magneto a giant muscular man like he is in the comics?
Yeah.
Does it look ridiculous?
And also, it's Ian McKellen.
And it's Ian McKellen,
he's
exactly.
70-something or whatever.
Yeah. Fassbender looks all right.
Yeah.
He probably does Pilates.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Probably. It's one of those whiz-bang Hollywood fads sweeping the nation.
That's it.
Yeah.
And it looks like it's set in Gotham as well.
Yes, okay.
So there'll be some crossover there. And
this time, Gotham's getting leveled completely.
there was a lot of people have photoshopped it as well. There's like one of Superman comforting sad Batman.
That's pretty great. I've seen that one.
Yeah, a few people have sent us that, so we appreciate that. So yeah, look, I think it's a step in the same direction.
Pretty much. I mean, there's very little... Like, the bat suit, there's a lot you can do.
Yeah.
Maybe they can tweak it so you can move the neck and they can put in heaps of more gadgets and whatever. But Superman doesn't have any gadgets to work with.
It's pretty much, like, slight design choices and whatever and colorings and that's it.
Yeah.
But check out my video, Mason, and I talk about the history of the suit.
Ooh.
But you probably know it, so
don't worry about it. Seems like a waste.
That's it.
Do you talk about his hair? It's slicked
back. Oh, I did. Sorry, yeah, like... It's like the Kingdom Come kind of
hair. It is like
hair.
The Kingdom Come.
That could be the rain, though.
Could be.
Because it's raining.
Yeah.
But, and I think that's a design choice.
Deliberate.
It's deliberate. I couldn't think of the word for deliberate.
There you go.
Well.
We've all learned something.
We sure have. So, yeah. Thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
Way up.
Look forward to it in 2 years' time.
Oh, thumbs down again. Boo, God.
I think we've nearly hit the 2 year mark.
Great.
Oh, we may have already. I can't. No, it's May. I think we're past
it. So 2 years, so down. It's less than 2 years.
Less than 2 years.
Ah, so good.
If one of us were to die between now and then, who would it be?
Well, I ate a lot of bad food. And you're always, like, threatening big people, like, on the street. Like, real angry, like, twitchy guys. So I don't know. It's a mystery, isn't it, though?
We'll see.
Roll of the dice,
I guess. Yeah. Well, there's some more Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice news, Mason.
Great, good. Is it now... Did they change it from Versus to V, or has it always been V?
Apparently, it's to... Zack Snyder said it to distinguish it from a straight Versus movie.
Right.
Like, it implies other things going on, or whatever.
Could have replaced the Versus with an and, then, couldn't
he? Sure.
Or a heart.
Well, they did... That's
Superman
what they
hearts
did
Batman.
In the hugging one. Uh-huh. In the hugging Photoshop thing.
Yeah. Superman for Batman. Forever.
I'd like that. That'd be nice. But you know how there's been a lot of script reveals for this over the past 6 months or so?
Uh-huh.
It's been said that Warner Brothers have deliberately leaked a script or a treatment that was written by Kevin Smith at Kevin Smith's request to red herring the whole
thing. Interesting.
Yeah.
So has that entire script been leaked?
Yes, but Warner Brothers keep pulling it down from websites and whatever.
See, right.
So look, people throw out red herrings before. It happens all the time. I don't think I've ever heard of it for a whole treatment though.
Right.
Before, but if you're going to do it on a movie, yeah, I guess this would be the one to do it on.
True. Where did Kevin Smith? So he wrote this whole thing.
Well, the story.
As a lark.
I think it's just a treatment, but I think the story was Zack Snyder showed Kevin Smith the outline or whatever, and Kevin Smith said, "Listen, I'll write a slightly different version of this, and we'll leak it on purpose, and then whatever." So
what
yeah.
I think might be interesting here is what if when it's finally released in the next 100 years, when it finally comes out, what if the treatment that Kevin Smith wrote is more entertaining than the movie we get?
Okay,
that's a danger, right?
Sure. Well, his version of the Superman Lives is fairly entertaining.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. It's much better than Superman Returns.
Yeah.
Just FYI.
Big time. Mm. But yeah, look, I like Kevin Smith.
Giant Spider.
Yeah. Well, at least we got the Giant Spider in the end.
Yeah, true.
Eight-Legged Freaks. You seen it?
Nah.
It's not good.
Not great.
Nah, it's exactly what you think it is.
Fantastic.
I've said this before, I like Kevin Smith, but he's to me, he's more of a fan who observes things than I don't want him directly involved in this stuff. Mm. I think in the 90s, maybe, because he did have some fresh ideas then about comic books and everything, but I think you've got a lot of... better writers than that coming up from that point. Nothing against him, but I think he's way too close to DC and he loves them too much.
Right,
that he's crippled by his fandom.
That makes that probably yeah.
And that and that I know that sounds like I'm having a go at him, and I am.
Yeah.
But I like him. I do like him, but I'd rather him not be involved.
I would be happy for him to take a pass at the script and like put in some jokes or whatever.
Sure.
Or,
you know,
punch up the dialogue a bit or something like
that. I like his movies. I haven't seen Red State.
Yeah, but I've heard that's good.
Yeah.
But I would not want him to write the script as a whole.
No.
Like, I don't want him to plot it.
No.
Yeah. I even, like,
you
even
read Batman Cacophony.
Yeah, boy, did I. Yeah. Yeah, if he even scenes, he could write individual scenes, like, you know, scenes in the press pool or whatever, that'd be fun. But the plot, no thank you.
Do you want a Daredevil-style cameo from Kevin Smith, like in the movie Daredevil?
Yeah.
He was all right in that.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, he was like, check this out. I'm excited by things.
Dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a 90s guy, isn't he?
Absolutely. Yeah. So 90s.
Good for him. More Kevin Smith.
I saw a guy was walking down the street and I saw a guy who was dressed exactly like Silent Bob.
Intentional?
I don't know. It's tough to say.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of Silent Bob types out there.
There are, aren't there?
Shout out to any Silent Bob types listening.
Hello.
Email us. With just an empty email.
Yeah.
You're silent.
Kevin Smith also, in more Kevin Smith news.
Great.
He visited the set of Star Wars.
Oh, and he talked about it for 10 minutes or something.
Yeah, I didn't watch it all. I kind of read the excerpts from it. But he said it's very, very tactile and very real and real sets and explosions. And he went inside the Millennium Falcon. And and he posted this picture of himself to Instagram where he's crying.
Huh.
From his fandom so much. This is what I'm talking about fandom. This is what I'm talking about.
He's too close
to
everything.
He's way too close to everything. Yeah. Again, like him, but he's like, to me, he's a super fan about this stuff more than
So
I mean that bodes well. But
what would it take for you to cry over a Star Wars film?
Nothing. There was like nothing.
No, but you're on set and it's being filmed. What if
Harrison Ford gave me his vest and said, "Here you go, kid. You're up."
Then
I'd cry.
And then you put it on and then like a little kid dresses C-3PO punch you in the nuts. Yeah. That'd do it, right?
I'm not even saying to me be in the movie. Just. Give me your vest, old man.
Yeah, nice.
Oh, you're bashed. Nah, nothing. There's nothing. You?
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Kevin Smith, he's... I know he likes the prequels as well.
Uh-huh.
From the perspective of George Lucas made the exact movies that he wanted to make. And I cannot argue with that, because he did.
Yeah.
Like, he barreled through that criticism and hate to make what he wanted. But he said that these ones are looking really good and really on track. Right. So, great. Whatever. 2015, Mason.
Are you going to see those day of, like opening day?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, well,
yeah. All
right.
Yeah, you?
I'm sure I will.
Yeah.
But, you know, the part of me that's like holding out, which will, you know, that I will immediately fold.
Yeah.
The one part of me says, I'm not going to see these films until I see multiple reviews that's from like really cynical sources that say this is a return to form in the way that the prequels weren't.
Kevin Smith.
Kevin Smith. Oh, he got me again. Too close to the fandom. Yeah, I'll probably see him opening day.
Yeah, yeah. Cool.
I'm not an idiot.
No.
But in many ways, I am an idiot.
Yes, that's right. So yeah, there you go. Some slightly more Star Wars news, Mason.
Okay.
News, Mason.
Yep.
They had 67,000 applicants applied for some Star Wars roles, two roles in particular.
Uh-huh.
And so they two people were chosen.
Mm-hmm.
Unknown
was
actors.
Was it us?
No.
We're unknown actors.
I know. I mean, we don't act.
No.
And we are unknown.
Yeah.
Maybe it's unknown to ourselves that we're actors.
Tell you what, we'll pause here. We'll just keep refreshing our email and just see if it's us.
Yep.
Okay, who is it really?
The names aren't important. I didn't even write them down.
Great.
But I'm sure they'll become household names soon. But one of them is a parkour expert.
Oh, is that why they got chosen?
I think
it's
so.
It's better not be.
It wasn't said, but why would you choose a parkour guy? Unless he's like, I don't know, an amazing actor somehow as well, which doesn't exist.
Correct.
But I've got here... I know I don't like to pre-plan any jokes, but Hey Abrams, 2006 called. They want their bloody parkour sequence back in a movie for no reason.
Fantastic. No, that's pretty solid work.
Yeah. I wish I didn't pre-plan it. I wish I had just thought of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because when I thought of it, I went, I'll say that. But then when you repeat it, not as good.
Is the other actor like real good on rollerblades or something?
Real good at street hockey.
Street hockey, yeah.
So look, I hope there's not a parkour sequence, but it sounds like there's going to be a parkour sequence.
But why even? What?
I don't know.
How are they going to... Because maybe Jedi can always leap.
Yeah.
I guess maybe if he's non-powered, like if he's not a Jedi,
yeah,
maybe it'd be impressive.
But even if he is...
parkour through...
Say he even is a Jedi though, right?
Yes.
It's better to see a guy actually do flips and somersaults than do CGI flips and
correct,
somersaults.
Correct, that is true.
So from that perspective, it's if it's just like an extended parkour chase sequence, don't need it. Don't want it. Don't need it. Bond was good though.
It's pretty good, right? Yeah, solid.
All right. Mason.
Yes?
Planet Hulk is alluded at, apparently, in the Guardians of the Galaxy movie because it's got the inclusion of the Sakurans.
Oh, yep, okay.
Which are from the planet Sakuran. I don't know. Whatever it's from. Where Planet Hulk takes place.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And it's also rumored the Avengers 2 leads into a Planet Hulk and there's going to be a Guardians of the Galaxy / Planet Hulk movie kind of like wedged together.
Interesting, okay.
This is all rumors.
Right.
The Sakurans or whatever they're called are definitely in Guardians of the Galaxy. So that's confirmed. Yeah. But the Avengers thing, not so much. I think if you're going to do a Hulk solo movie, that's how you do it. You team him up with another space crew because presumably this Guardians of the Galaxy will be really successful.
Yeah.
They don't want to bank on just another Hulk solo movie again.
Right.
Even though he worked well in the Avengers. So why not team him up with like Space Avengers?
Yeah.
Or not.
Maybe, okay.
What do you think?
Maybe, there's got to be like a plucky team of, actually, that's the Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah, team them up. That's fine.
Sure. All right. Do you care for the Planet Hulk movie, if it happens or not?
I would like to see that, yeah.
Me too. Okay. I want to see more Bruce Banner if they do it, because it's
Hulk. He's pretty much never Bruce Banner in the Planet Hulk
I don't think he is
line.
At all, from memory. Hmm. But I want to see some rough.
We would, I kind of feel, if it's a Planet Hulk film, they're going to have to make him more intelligent at some point.
Yes.
Because he's going to have to start talking. I mean, he speaks once.
Because he like leads a rebellion and,
exactly.
and whatever.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Mm.
Got to find that level.
Yeah.
He's got some form of intelligence that's shown in the Avengers, sort of. I mean, he knows who to lash out at.
Yeah, correct. That's true. Yeah. So,
because that's all you need. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There you go, Mason. That's the news for this week. That's rarely sometimes the news. What's the news? What's the news, Mr. Wolf?
Yep. I don't know. Yeah, that's what we're calling it. There we go.
Cool. Now, Mason, we finally did our X-Men First Class commentary earlier this week, didn't
we?
Some people have already downloaded it. Ooh. We really appreciate that.
Delightful, thank you.
Oh, I didn't put it on Twitter. I'm presuming you didn't put it on Twitter or anything.
What's Twitter?
Don't worry about it.
Okay, cool, thanks.
You missed the boat. So, yeah, if you go to theweeklyplanet.bandcamp.com, it's right there.
Commentary on X-Men First Class. Yeah.
Absolutely. There's a syncing up issue about half an hour before it ends because my laptop died. So I didn't plug it in because I'm an idiot.
You mean our recording studio.
Sorry. Yeah.
Our recording studio caught fire. We bravely got everyone out.
We did.
And we put out the fire ourselves.
Producer was killed.
Yeah, but you know. It's
good.
It's fine. We didn't need you anyway, Quincy Jones.
So yeah,
that is my most contemporary producer reference.
Okay, right.
It's what I went to. Could have gone with Kanye West.
Forget it.
Yeah.
If you want to check it out, please do. If you want to, you can download it for free, rip it for free, play it for free. But I think it's the minimum for downloaded is $1. But there's ways around it if you want it. We don't care if you get it for free.
Exactly.
But if you want to contribute to the show, it helps. Basically, it just pays for this show. Doesn't
pays
it?
For our studio time. Pays for Quincy Jones's funeral.
All of that. So if you want to contribute, do. If not, don't. It's absolutely fine. We appreciate regardless of everybody who listens, even if you hate us.
Yeah, especially if you do, because you'd really have to be fighting your way
through
to get to 2 hours watching a film with us just yammering over the top.
That's it. I'd
really appreciate that.
We do.
Haters, thanks for listening.
So, Mason.
Yes.
This week.
Yes.
The release of Dawn of the Planet of the Apes is happening.
Mm.
I'm seeing it on Wednesday morning, which I think is Tuesday in the US or whatever.
Yeah.
So, I'll try and get a review up Wednesday or Tuesday night for if you're in the Northern Hemisphere.
Yet another review that people don't believe you... for a movie people that believe you haven't seen.
That's right. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm excited for it because what a heritage the Planet of the Apes franchise has had. Do you agree?
I'm making that hand wavy motion where I'm like,
Well, let's go through them.
Okay, cool.
But not really.
Yeah, just the biggies.
Just the big ones. Well, I thought you've got your three eras. You've got the original.
Yep.
You've got your Tim Burton reboot. And
correct.
You've got your reboot from 2011. Uh-huh. We'll talk a bit about the sequels and the TV
three-boot.
Shows. Three-boot. And whatnot. But we'll hit on those three major eras of Planet of the Apes.
Uh-huh.
Because they're the ones that people remember.
Yep.
Not so much the Tim Burton one, but...
Okay. It's,
all right. But to remember, I mean. Yeah, people. I think remember, it doesn't matter. We'll talk about it, Mason.
People remember different things. Different people remember different things. That's what life's all about.
Now, so we're obviously going to give them best or worst movie ever.
Okay.
You cool with that?
Yes.
Absolutely. So, yeah.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When picking a commerce platform for your business, you got two choices. Oh, this piece of shit, mother f***. Or sales. I definitely prefer, don't you? Because that's a sound you'll hear when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that's supercharging your selling wherever you sell, online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Shopify is the best all-in-one commerce platform capable of handling your business's complexity no matter how big you grow. Step up to Shopify and harness the best converting checkout and the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. For example, Ruggable, NYX, Magnolia, Cotton, and so many more. Now you're probably thinking, sure, but migrating is going to be a headache. The Shopify App Store has the migration apps that you need to migrate your products, orders, customers, and more from every e-commerce platform to Shopify. And maybe you're one of those people who are like, hey, don't put me in a box. I don't want to be in this box, either metaphorically or for real. Thankfully, Shopify never will, because with Shopify, you can control your brand and business from your storefront look to your back office operations. And you know what's really annoying when you're checking out from an online store and you have to put in all your payment details and all sorts of numbers and letters and whatnot? Well, with the Shopify store, they actually remember my shipping address or your shipping address if you were using yours, plus the payment information. So say if I'm on the couch and my wallet is in the kitchen, I didn't even have to get up, which is my favorite thing. Stop leaving sales on the table, switch your business to Shopify, and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their business. So sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/weeklyplanet, all lowercase. That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Cha-ching sound effect.
Planet of the Apes, 1968.
Ah, heady
old
times.
Old Chuck Heston.
Yeah.
Charlie Heston.
Charlie Heston.
I've just got here. It's pretty weird, isn't it?
It's very odd. Yeah, exactly. But can I ask you a question?
Do you want to go through the story? Sorry.
Well, Planet of the Apes has a twist ending. It's probably the
most... Oh, spoilers, by the way,
yeah,
everybody.
Yeah, there's so many, yeah. If you haven't seen... Look, at this point, if you haven't seen Planet of the Apes and you don't know the... You know the twist anyway because...
You've seen The Simpsons.
You've seen that episode of The Simpsons with the musical. You've seen... Like, everything about movies has made a reference to that. Like, yep. There's so many homages in other media that there's no way to avoid it.
No.
My question for you is, did you see that film before you knew about the spoil, about the twist, or did you hear know the twist?
And I'm pretty sure I knew the twist going in.
Okay,
you?
Right. I saw it when I was like 12, maybe.
Okay.
It was like on a midday.
Yeah.
Midday movie or whatever.
Sure.
And I hadn't heard there was a twist, but I didn't really think there was a twist. Like, I know what happened. Like, it happens at the end. He sees the Statue of Liberty and he breaks down in tears. Yeah. And I thought,
wow.
Yeah.
Don't know if it's tears. He's yelling.
He's yelling. We'll get to that. But I thought maybe I'd missed some other significance to do with the Statue of Liberty. Because the whole way through the film, I'm like, yeah, he's in the future.
Yep, because he says he's in the future.
Yeah.
Should we break down the story for
those
who
haven't seen
it? Let's
break down the story, yeah. Okay, cool.
So basically, three astronauts arrive on what they think is a far distant planet.
Four. Well,
sorry.
Three and a dead lady.
Three and a dead lady arrive.
who, as I understand it, not credited in the film.
Really?
She doesn't get like...
Not even dead lady?
Yeah, not as dead lady, nothing. She's just, like, you can find out who it is if you go to Wikipedia or whatever, but she's not in the credits of the film.
Oh, wow, there you go. So basically, they arrive on this future planet in the hopes of recolonizing and exploring, and there's something like... It turns out that they're like, it's only 2,000 years in the future, so I don't know how all this have happened or how they went through time and space and then managed to get turned around and come back to Earth. Because they think they're at this other star system.
Right.
And so they crash down there, they assume it's a barren, dead planet. They eventually find signs of life in, like, primitive humans, and they think, sweet, we're going to run this place.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at all these women we can bang. Which is a running theme in this movie.
It is a bit. I've bedded so many women. So many. Oh. That's Charlton Heston again.
That's it. And that's what they brought the woman on the spaceship for.
Yeah,
they were like, we're going to restart the Earth. Three guys and this girl.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're just going to... I don't know how that even works.
Right.
Not important, I guess.
No.
But it's kind of important.
Yeah.
More women. That's it.
It's probably the key there.
And anyway, so it turns out that that planet is ruled by apes.
Mm.
So they're captured. Two of them are taken out for whatever reasons. Chuck Heston gets his voice box damaged. They think he's just a primitive human. But it turns out that they're all surprised when he begins to talk and they realize that...
And then sing.
And
sing. Oh, what, I'm thinking of something else.
And that he's this intelligent human being, which the kind of... The upper class kind of society don't believe to exist. And you've got your kind of... Your doctors
upper class
and
weirdly religious.
Yeah, and weirdly religious, yeah. Mm. Even though actually they know humans are intelligent, or they can be, but they know them to be dangerous. So
right.
They kind of suppress all that. And he has to prove that he's intelligent and escape and get away. And then he finds out that it's actually Earth and he has a weird breakdown.
He sure does.
So, yeah, I mean, it's pretty great.
My question, because I had always, I went through the film.
Mm.
Going, oh, of course, he's in the future of Earth.
Yeah.
Because...
Why else would there be apes and humans?
But also, all the apes speak English and read and write in English. Like, he writes to them. Like, it's not like, you know, they have a sequence of symbols to represent their writing.
Yeah.
And then he figures that out and then he can communicate that way.
Yeah.
And they go, oh, he understands language. They're sure. Like, where did you learn that? And he's like, I went to the University of blah, blah, blah. And they're like, oh, University of, right. He just writes. He's writing in English. And then they find the doll
yep.
that can talk
yep.
in English.
Yep.
Where'd that come from? We're not in another star system. We're on Earth. Obviously.
You make a really valid point.
And then at the end, I'm like, oh, maybe he took his family to Statue of Liberty. And it's just come back to him, and now he like maybe I missed that scene.
So you overthought it.
Yeah,
that's
I guess
what
I
happens
did. Yeah.
Here.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that's from a time when you couldn't put all that stuff in. Like if you release this movie now, people will be like, not like you just said.
Yeah,
then
yeah.
I just let all that pass because
right.
it's from 1968.
Right.
But there are clearly holes.
Yeah, yeah.
In this
I guess
movie.
So, yeah. Also, and I think this is probably the biggest hole in the movie is that he does have that breakdown at the end.
Yeah.
But at the start, he's just in the spaceship, just smoking a cigar, like, hey, 700 years have passed since, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's,
who
know,
cares?
Who cares? Like, clearly, men who are prepared to leave Earth
yep.
forever, like, leave everyone they know and all the society, they know that hundreds, when they, if in the event that they do come back, all of society is going to change. They may not even be able to understand those people.
Yeah.
You don't have that much of an attack
you're
attraction
right.
to Earth.
You'd just
right?
be like, huh, that's a
I
thing.
I guess that
it?
Happened, yeah. Also, this is I wrote this down because I rewatched a little snippet of it.
Sure.
At one point, Charlton Heston says to one of his men, he goes, he's talking about the time dilation and the blah, blah, blah. And he's like, time has wiped out everything you ever knew. And the other guy's a little bit incredulous, and he's like, prove it! You're an out. You got. How did you get here? Like, were you tricked onto the spaceship? Surely they would have briefed you about what was going to happen before you got. You became this.
Just look at the clock on the spaceship.
Just look at the spaceship clock. Exactly. Like, did he think they were just going to go for a jaunt and they got in and they took off and he's like, oh, actually, we're going to be thousands of years that way. Everyone he knows is going to be dead by the time you come back. Like, why is he surprised?
Good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, it's fun and dumb, though.
It is. Oh, it's very fun and dumb. I wouldn't even say I couldn't really wholeheartedly recommend it because it's so weird and so dated.
Right.
You really got to have a love for that kind of thing. Uh-huh. To appreciate it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you'd just be like, this is ridiculous. Mm. And it is. And also, we've talked about this before, I'm sure. It's from that era of acting where there is no acting.
Yes.
It's just you stay men shouting at each
yeah,
other.
It's just
being
what
stern.
You do if you want to be, if you want to get lauded for your acting, if you want people to say how great, what amazing acting you had, you stay stoic for a long time and you just talk casually. And then at some point you just explode and you start yelling about how things are unfair and how everything's ruined. And then people are like, such great acting.
I know, right?
So good.
I put Charlton Heston in the same category as like John Wayne, right?
Yep.
Where good screen presences, they're not actors.
No.
They're just being themselves. They're just saying lines
yep.
and yelling.
Sometimes
and
they're
being
drunk.
Stoic. Yeah. Yeah, sometimes they're drunk. They're kind of 55.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Like, for 40 years.
Right.
Like, I don't...
That's true. I have no idea how old these people are.
It's bizarre, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah.
Like, they could be in their 40s. They could be 32.
Yeah.
But they don't look that.
No, they don't. He looks real weathered.
Yeah.
Look, I got to say, though, I still find that bit quite... Like, there are some good stuff. There's some good ideas in this movie, right? Mm-hmm. I love the bit where the apes turn up. Even though I know it's coming, it's quite startling mm-hmm. when you first see the ape makeup. Because the ape makeup, would you say... It holds up for what it is.
Yeah, it definitely
holds
up.
There's some movement.
I was going to say there is some movement. They don't really look like they're talking. Like,
no.
They don't look like they're talking.
No.
But, like, you get the gist of it.
It's good enough.
The stat, if you look at it sort of in stills and stuff like that, if you just look at them in action sequences, it does look quite good.
Yep, absolutely.
For 1968.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. They said at the time, they put out like a press release said, we spent $1 million on the makeup. It was like a $5 million movie.
Yeah,
turns
yeah.
out it was a little bit less than that, but $1 million sounds better than $800,000.
Yeah.
The budget obviously decreases on the following movies. But, but yeah, also, I read things like some of the actors in the ape makeup, like they went to the zoo and they studied apes and their movements or whatever. Maybe it's just me, but I didn't see any of that.
Absolutely
they just look
not,
like
no.
people talking who have ape masks
yeah,
on.
Yeah, in fact, there's like a lot of sequences where... Charlton Heston is like running around on rocky outcroppings or whatever, and he'll leap across a crevasse or whatever.
Yeah.
And then some of the apes will jump past, and I'm like, Charlton Heston looked more monkey-like in that leap. Like he had quite an elegant leap, like a
because he's
like
pretty rangy.
Yeah, like a rangy animalistic kind of leap.
Yeah.
And the other just sort of clambered over, like they're no,
yeah,
not at
you're
all.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they've evolved to the point where they're more human-like. I don't know. I still don't understand how monkeys can evolve from 2,000 years back to talking or to talking. But I guess it's implied nuclear war may have had something to do with that.
Probably,
I guess
yeah.
it's not really made clear. I got to say though, the world that they built is quite interesting. Like it looks lived in. It looks real.
Yep.
Some of the inside sets, not so much. But it looks like the smooth stone kind of buildings and
yep.
the jungle and the beach or whatever. They're all real locations, a lot of it.
Uh-huh.
And it looks pretty good.
Yeah. Action sequences, not so much.
Well, it's 68.
Yeah, but I mean, it was, you know, pre-Matrix action sequences.
Do you
very
like the...
pre.
Sure.
But like where, you know, it'll be a shot of Charlton Heston, like just a one shot of him and he's firing a rifle. Then it'll cut to a gorilla and he's clutching his chest because he's been shot. And then it cuts to another gorilla and he's firing a rifle. Then it cuts to one shot of Charlton Heston. He's dodging a bullet or whatever. Like
very
you have no
slow.
Idea what's going on.
Yeah,
very
yeah.
slow. Yeah.
That's
and
it.
there's a lot of anticlimactic action.
Yes.
Where like Charlton Heston will be like, oh, you bloody, you know, the classic, you bloody baba. And then he runs, And instead of there being some sort of explosive fight sequence, like two guys will just grab his
arms.
They'll
throw a net on him.
They'll throw a net on him. Yeah,
throw a
exactly,
net on him.
Yeah.
That's my favorite line. You cut out his brain, you bloody
baboon. Yep.
Brilliant. Yeah, yeah.
So good. Now, so that's your favorite, even more so than get your stinking paws
absolutely,
off.
Absolutely, because it's so funny because he does like a little run at him.
Yep. Okay. Yeah.
It's so good.
Okay. Good. Point.
If you haven't watched it, people listening, there's a clip of that in my All About Planet of the Apes video. So if you want a breakdown of that, like visually,
yeah, watch it before the estate of Charlton Heston takes it down.
Yeah.
Wait, is he dead?
Doesn't. Yeah. He is. He's
okay.
Dead.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Throw him on the pile with Buzz Aldrin. He's not dead.
I was gonna say, no, he's very much alive. So yeah, I've got hilarious moments. The cut out the brain bit, love it. The Heston just acting his ass off the whole
correct
way through.
As best he can.
Just like, I love it because you
just
can tell
thinking about rifles.
He's like smoking cigars on the spaceship.
Yeah.
He's like, he's not fit like at all.
See, I don't know, but I think he's normal man
he
fit.
Looks like he's played some tennis. That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
You're right. He's normal man fit. You're right. Yeah.
He's not those guys in Twilight, those werewolves in Twilight fit.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And the sexism is pretty hilarious.
Okay, yep.
But yeah, I mean, it touched on some issues that, you know, you couldn't really properly make a movie about at the time. Like, you've got your, you know, like slavery. Although, not that there weren't movies about these, but like religious dogma clashing with, you know, scientific advancement.
Yeah.
And, you know, evolution and all these other things kind of.
Yeah.
A nuclear war. Like,
yeah,
it touches on a lot of themes. Like a blunt axe.
Yeah,
like, but it does.
Yeah,
so
it's
to be commended for that.
I mean,
that.
There are, you know, the like Dr. Zaius is like the sort of the main villain character. He's quite he's quite willfully ignorant over like Charlton Heston's intelligence. Like he's like, what's the number one creed of the ape people? And he's and Charlton Heston's like, I don't know your culture. What do you ask me to do anything else? Look, we're having a conversation.
Yeah.
And then Zaius is like, he clearly is an animal. He doesn't know anything.
I'm sorry.
I'm right here.
Yeah.
I'm right here. I'm talking to you.
Trying to get a bloody monkey university or whatever. You prick.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. It's, I have to say, best movie ever because I can't not. It took leaps and bounds in some directions. I don't know what directions.
Sure.
But I really enjoy it.
I'm going to go with worst movie ever because there was too much pleather in it, I found.
There was a lot of pleather
in it. A lot of brown pleather. I didn't like it.
Did you like the bit where Charlton Heston was in the net hanging upside down?
That was pretty good,
Did you like the bit where he...
I liked the bit where all the astronauts were nude for no reason, just hanging out nude.
That was pretty good.
But yeah, worst movie ever.
Yeah. Some iconic lines, some iconic moments.
Correct.
Well, before we get onto the timber...
Collectively, how many iconic moments?
Okay,
like,
you've got the Statue of Liberty.
3 minutes worth.
Yep. You got
I'm going to say 3 minutes.
Okay, fair enough. I love the bit where the guy puts the little American flag out.
Yeah.
And Charlton Heston has that big, booming, dubbed laugh.
Right.
And it's clearly dubbed because his mouth
is like, insane.
It's insane.
Yeah, okay.
He is insane in the movie.
Yeah.
It's pretty great.
Okay, good.
Good old Chuck Heston.
Good old Chucky H.
Good old gun control Chuck Heston. So, yeah, well, there was no Planet of the Apes movie in 1969, Mason, because they were prepping for the sequels to come in 1970, 71, 72, and 73.
Wow.
So, have you seen any of these?
I think that I saw... I think when I was a kid, there was a run of, like, midday movies, which are generally quite cheap or low-budget, low-quality films.
Sure.
And I think... It was Planet of the Apes and then all the sequels. But the only one that's made any impact is the first one. I mean...
Beneath the... Oh, the very first Planet of the Apes.
None of the sequels.
Fair enough.
Okay, so hit me with...
Sure. Well, I've only seen bits of these because I'm just like, I'm not watching all of these.
Right.
Though people... there are people who are big fans of them and some are better than others.
Uh-huh.
None of them, I think, measure up to the first one in terms of sheer
insanity.
Does
the sequel feature... A guy who was clearly supposed to be Charlton Heston.
No. So what basically happens, it's called Beneath the Planet of the Apes. And a guy crash lands on his own on the same planet at the same time looking for Charlton Heston.
Oh, I see.
How did that happen twice? I do not know. And they knew on that spaceship, they're like, we're sending you into the future. We'll never see you again. But yet they send a guy after him. Like, what happened to him? You fucking shot him into the future. That's what happened to him.
Yeah.
So anyway, this guy turns up who looks exactly like Charlton Heston.
Right.
And he runs into Charlton Heston at one point because he is looking for them. Charlton Heston agreed to do it as long as he had minimal screen time and he wanted to die.
Oh, and he dies at the end.
Yeah,
right?
Well, that's at the very start, he goes missing in the Forbidden Zone.
Uh-huh.
And then it's the girl from the Planet of the Apes. I can't remember her name. Her name's Linda.
Nova.
I think her actress's name is Linda something.
Who cares?
Irrelevant.
No, I'm kidding. I'll look it up.
Banging the producer at the time, though.
That makes sense.
So, yeah, that was a big Hollywood moment.
Linda Harrison,
that's
right.
The one, sorry, yeah. She's also in the 2001 version. So basically, there's these humans living underground who have been, who worship a nuclear weapon, and they've been all scarred.
Oh, I do remember that. Yes, okay.
They've been all deformed, like melted from the radiation. So they've got fake rubber faces that they pull off, and they worship this bomb, and they're like telepathic, and they can like get into your mind and like be like,
I do remember this one. Yes, okay.
You know, like that 1970 sound effect.
And maybe just like a zoom in on their face.
Yeah, in and out.
Happens.
In and out, in and out. Yeah.
And then maybe it'll cut to Charlton Heston like clutching his head and the camera shakes a bit and he's like, my mind. Yeah.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
So basically the apes come up against the telepathic humans.
And a battle for the ages.
Indeed.
A classic draw card.
And it ends with Charlton Heston. Charlton Heston demanded this to be part of it, or suggested it, and ended up coming through that he detonated the nuclear weapon after the guy. I can't remember the other. That's the other. Charlton Heston 2 gets shot.
Sure,
I don't know what his name is. And then Charlton Heston 1 detonates a nuclear bomb, explodes the planet.
Great.
And that's the end.
Yeah.
And the idea was behind it. Charlton Heston said, I want to make sure there's no more sequels to this. So I'm going to kill myself and everybody else.
Yeah, great.
So, yeah, and that's basically how it ends.
Literally, what he has forgotten is that in science fiction, especially poor quality, low budget science fiction, you can do anything you want.
That's right.
Ain't no Charlton Heston can stop you from making a dumb sequel.
What was I going to say? Yeah, this budget was, the budget for the first was like $5 million. This one was $3 million.
Uh-huh.
And it's clearly evident in a lot of the times where you'll see the apes in the background just have like rubber masks.
Right, right.
Because in the first one, they made up like everybody properly. But that was in the day where instead of throwing more money to sequel what they do now, they just like do the same thing but with less money.
Right,
because we know this isn't going to make us enough much money. And they didn't. It's the law of they diminish every
time.
Well,
that's how the Superman movies went.
Yeah.
Like four is a lot cheaper looking than...
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. There's no budget in that movie, as far as I'm aware. Is that right?
Yeah, it was a zero budget film, yeah.
Yeah. Still better than three. I don't care what anyone says. So, yeah, look, I guess we'll rate these at the end.
Okay.
But as a
collectively.
Bunch,
sure. Yeah, okay.
The next one was Escape from the Planet of the Apes, where... Yeah. Do you remember the two scientists who help him out?
Cornelius.
And the other one, yeah?
Yes. Can't remember.
Doesn't matter. Yeah. Irrelevant. We've got some big fans of these who listen to the show, so I'm sorry if we're not getting every...
I'm not sorry at all. I hope you're filled with rage and send us angry emails.
So off screen, during the events of Beneath the Planet of the Apes, they managed to acquire the spaceship that I can't remember that Charlton Heston 1 or 2 arrived on. I can't remember.
Maybe it's a combination of the two.
Sure. They fashioned it together and they jettisoned back to like 1970s Earth. So they arrive, and the movie starts with they land, and they take off the helmets, and it's their monkeys.
In complete defiance of any kind of physics or time travel.
Because it's been bulletproof up until this point.
Absolutely, yeah. And, but I mean, if it's time dilation, like that's not going to work.
Doesn't work.
Doesn't work at all, right?
But I guess
if there's like a time hole.
They said the nuclear blast of the Earth exploding did it. Somehow.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense then.
Now
So it is the time hole theory.
It's the time hole.
Just went into a time hole.
Right up there. Okay, shooting up a time hole.
Great.
So, and then they're celebrities, basically, because they're like, oh my God, you're talking apes and whatever. And it's a bit like a reversal of the first one. But they're media darlings at first, and then they get turned on because they find that apes eventually take over and the fate of the planet and blah, blah, blah. So they eventually have a baby, which they swap.
Probably could have kept that detail quiet that, hey, eventually we take over and we kill you all. Kill and enslave you all. Could have. There's no way for 1970s Earth to know that. So,
that's it. Exactly.
Just shut your mouths. Shut your damn dirty ape mouths.
So it ends with...
They have a kid.
They have a kid and they swap it out for a circus. And I keep saying monkey instead of ape and whatever and chimpanzee.
Monkey's got tails.
I know that they're all... difference, whatever, I don't care. I'm just going to call them monkeys or whatever comes into my mind because I'm racist in that way. So, yeah, apparently it's okay. They say it's better than the second one.
Okay, I could totally believe that.
Yeah, I've only seen bits of it, again. The next one is Conquest of the Planet of the Apes. And that actually directly influences Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, okay.
And that sees Caesar, who was the ape that was born at the end, or monkey, whatever. Not his ape. I actually said it right. He ends up starting an ape uprising.
An ape uprising.
And he's the only one that can initially talk. I think somebody says no at the end. And he eventually leads this rebellion. So it very much is like Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
And of course, as we know, Conquest of the Planet of the Apes, set in the far-flung future, North America, 1991.
Man. Oh. All those Super Nintendos just ready to hyper-color. Go out the stores.
Just apes in hypercolor.
So,
wraparound shades.
Yeah, yeah. The original ending's quite dark because Caesar's like, I don't know the exact speech, but it's basically like, listen, I'm in charge now. You're all dead. This is my time. That's not the exact words. But then there's a weird, they weirdly add dubbed an extra bit and it's like, but now it's time to put down our guns.
Great.
And that's how it sounds. Uh-huh, like, sure, as I said it then.
Yeah.
And so it kind of ends more optimistically.
Uh-huh.
But then the next one, Battle of the Planet of the Apes, which came the year after, that's set 10 years after, which is also influences Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, where the humans and the apes are trying to find an uneasy alliance, but you've got factors on both sides which don't want it and don't trust the other side and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And it ends somehow. It doesn't matter.
Sure.
So that's pretty
dance
much...
Dance battle.
Dance battle. Yeah, yeah. Again, I think with these, there are a lot of good ideas in them.
Uh-huh.
Like credit where credit's due.
Yeah.
But...
We've all worshipped a bomb in our time, a nuclear bomb. Sure.
Worst or best, Mason, of those things I just went through?
Oh, you know what? The nostalgic memories have inspired me to say best movie ever.
Sure.
Because I love a face-melty guy worshipping of a bomb.
Absolutely.
Pretty great.
From what I've seen, the bits and pieces, I'm also going to say best movie ever because I enjoyed collecting the clips.
Sure.
Often that's really tedious, but for this I'm like, there's a lot of good stuff in this.
Yes.
But yeah, I wouldn't say go back and see them though.
Okay.
I couldn't say. But they do say Conquest is the best. Or yeah, Conquest of the Planet of the Apes is the best.
They only say that because it rhymes, though.
Good point.
Someone was asked for an opinion. They're like, well, Conquest is the best.
All right. Now, there was some comics and stuff, and there's sequel books to the movies and whatever that came in between. Uh-huh. There was a TV show and an animated TV show.
Ooh.
Do you remember the Star Trek animated show?
Yes.
It looks like that.
Not good. Bad. Just a terrible show.
I mean, can you imagine the budget on a Planet of the Apes movie from this TV show from the 70s? That would have been pretty high, right?
No, you're wrong. You've said the wrong word there, the opposite.
No, because you'd have to have the ape makeup.
Oh,
you have some
see,
main
right.
characters that were apes, and they'd have to have the makeup.
Wouldn't they just reuse all the rubbery masks from... What they would have done is just reuse the rubbery masks from the low-budget films, I would
you're
think.
You're right. Yeah. Good point.
Zero budget.
The budget of Superman 4.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah. But, so, you know, things happened, and they tried to get them back happening, and a whole lot of different directors came on board and left, like, Peter Jackson at one point.
So this is the 90s.
This is, the 80s and 90s, uh-huh. And Arnold Schwarzenegger was considered, and a few other actors and whatever. Can uh-huh. you? Because I think Arnold Schwarzenegger in the 90s was, like, the Chuck Heston.
Yeah, that's true. I imagine they did want him to say, get your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape, in Arnold Schwarzenegger voice.
You better believe it, Mason.
Yeah.
But then 2001, luckily.
Yeah, and he probably wanted to add another catchphrase to his collection.
I'm sure he did.
Yeah.
He's got that one that's like, get off my car. Is that his one?
No, wrong. Incorrect. Incorrect on so many levels.
Maybe that's from The Expendables?
No, also wrong.
I haven't seen it. Or I have seen
When's
it.
When's 3 coming out?
You've got sometime, next few months.
All right.
I didn't see 2 and I barely saw 1. I fell asleep. All right. 2001, though, Tim Burton took the reins after the death of Superman Lives.
Uh-huh.
That which he was... I think he felt like he wanted to make a science fiction kind of movie.
Sure.
And so he thought, now's a perfect time to... relaunch the Planet of the Apes franchise.
Uh-huh.
This is not a sequel, this is a reboot.
Correct.
Critically panned at the time.
Uh-huh.
Still critically panned.
Sure.
Did you check it out this week?
No, but I've seen it.
Cool.
I've seen it in the past. I think it's a bad rap.
Well, I don't know.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it, necessarily.
Sure.
All right, you tell me what's wrong with it.
Oh, how about we go over the story first?
Okay, still, yeah, okay.
So basically, it's in the far-flung future of 1991. Whoa. No, I don't know when the future is. Mark Wahlberg is a spaceman.
Yep.
And they're using chimps for unmanned space flights.
Sure.
So they're orbiting this planet which has oxygen and whatever, and they lose a chimp in the space flight through a time rift, and Mark Wahlberg goes after him and also ends up in a time rift.
Uh-huh, sure.
Crash lands on this planet, and what's basically happened, when he gets there, All his ship that he was on had crash landed, but somehow managed to get there earlier because of time rifts, like thousands of years before. And the apes took over, killed everybody, and built this society. Oh, sorry, not killed everybody, but built this society with the humans as used as slaves and pets and whatnot. Mark Wahlberg leads a sort of rebellion. He leads all the enemy apes to his old spaceship where he launches nuclear fire over them.
Sure,
and then the humans hit them with rocks.
Yep.
And then the original chimp who we lost originally lands because of time rifts.
And they're like, it's a sign. He's our god.
That's right. And the war stops. Mark Wahlberg's like, I'm going back to Earth somehow. Goes back to the time rift. Lands in modern day Earth, what it seems.
Yep.
And General Thade, who was the villain in that, played by Tim Roth, who is an ape, is now the Lincoln Monument.
Correct.
The Lincoln Memorial.
Yep.
So, monkey statue of Lincoln.
And then the police show up, and they're all apes.
Sorry, and everybody on the planet is an ape. Planet of the Apes, again. Yep. That ending is insane and makes no sense.
Is it, though?
Yes. Because, look, I understand that there are theories that make it work.
Yeah.
But everything in that movie, nothing points towards how that could have happened.
Right.
Because it implies that Thade, who's the villain in it, somehow managed to... Who they're pretty much... They're a primitive society still. They're probably like, I don't know, like a maybe 1800s version of, you know, of chimps.
Yeah,
like
humans
were or whatever. He found a spaceship, launched it through a time rift, landed, somehow made it so every other ape was intelligent in the matter of, say, 200 years, and took over and led a revolution and whatever, and then everybody's an ape. It makes no sense.
Here's a fun fact about that twist. Maybe it's not a fact. Doesn't matter.
Is this
it's
a
irrelevant.
Kevin Smith thing?
No, but there's a... You know how all the Planet of the Apes moves were based on a book originally?
Yeah.
That's how the book ends.
Yes.
Yeah.
It does.
So this is actually the most... This is the... Oddly, this is the most... it sticks to the canon the most. Like,
yes.
It's the most accurate. It's the most true to the book.
But I think they just took a part from it. And but they don't build to it.
Right.
It's not built to. It's not implied. It's not shown that he could do that.
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
I think... I get the sense that this was... Because the old Planet of the Apes was a franchise.
Yeah.
I get the sense that they wanted this to be the first part of a new franchise.
It was.
And then Tim Burton just sort of threw it in there. And he's like, we'll figure this out later.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
I think he went, well, this ends... In the book it ends, they come back to Earth. The guy comes back to Earth and there's military personnel who are apes or whatever. Let's just put that in there and hope for the best. And if this makes money, we'll figure it out next time.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. And it made some money, but people genuinely didn't like it. But I don't like it when it sets up a sequel, but doesn't... It's clearly just sequel bait. That's not in service to the story.
Uh-huh.
I think also they're like, well, the original Planet of the Apes has a pretty big twist.
Uh-huh.
So we need a big twist.
Big twist, right.
And arguably, it makes less sense than the original twist.
I think it makes about the same amount of sense. I think Tim Burton would have been damned if he didn't, damned if he didn't. If he didn't put in a twist, people were like, where's the twist? It's traditional for Planet of the Apes, that one Planet of the Apes movie to have a twist, so why doesn't this one? But if he, because he did, people were like, oh, it's not as good as the original.
But I think the twist could have been the spaceship had crashed and was there thousands of years before Mark Wahlberg got there. I think that's good enough of a twist.
Okay, sure.
I mean, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's a twist.
Certainly is.
Put it that way. But yeah, he wasn't a fan of that movie because, look.
Mark Wahlberg.
Well, no, yeah, probably not, but Tim Burton. But the creature effects, like Rick Baker did them.
Yeah, yeah.
The makeup is amazing.
Really good, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Tim Roth is a very good villain in this. Like crazy and weird and whatever. But he's interesting. And aesthetically, when the movie's outside, it works. When it's in like the Ape Village, it feels like a Tim Burton set.
Yeah, you're
like,
probably
it feels
right,
very enclosed in the way that the first one didn't really.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Can you think of it? Okay, how about this? Can you think of an actor-director combo that's less suited than Mark Wahlberg and Tim Burton?
You're right, because Mark
especially him. Then, sorry.
Mark Wahlberg is our American hero.
Yeah.
And Tim Burton does not work with American heroes.
He does not.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Works with American traitors. Like Johnny Depp lives in France.
Probably.
What a traitor.
Probably drinks foreign beers.
Yeah.
Jerk.
Yeah, yeah.
There's also... Oh, sorry, go on. You're going to say something?
I was going to say, I think maybe... I think it's fairly solid. as a B grade campy kind of sci-fi film, like the original is.
Sure, I don't think it's funny enough to be, or weird enough to be interesting or good,
mm-hmm.
or worth a read. Because I rewatched it this week, uh-huh. but I watched it in two parts.
Uh-huh.
Not by choice, I had to go and do something, so I finished it just today. And it's just nothing.
Okay.
Like, it's...
Well, I'll believe that. I haven't seen it in 10 years,
so... There's a lot of wire work when the chicks jump. There's, like, really awkward...
Well, parkour hadn't been invented yet.
That's
so
true.
Obviously there's going to be wire work.
Like, there's no, like... You know when the apes turn up in the first one, it's kind of like a shock or whatever.
Yeah,
There's no shock in this because you know what's going to happen. And they rehashed a lot of lines.
Yeah.
Got to mention the fact that Charlton Heston plays Tim Roth's father in this.
Yep.
And they somehow convinced Chuck Heston, who hates Planet of the Apes, to put on ape makeup.
Correct,
and
yes.
spout the same lines that he did in the first one.
But reversed.
And it's... I don't understand how they got him to do that.
Yep.
It's amazing.
I think the accountant just put a number on a check and just said, I'm going to keep writing zeros after the check until you agree to be in this.
Sure. There's also a really long dinner party scene.
I don't remember that at all.
It's pretty good.
Okay.
There's also like weird sexual undertones between the Helena Bonham Carter one and Mark
Oh, that's
Wahlberg.
Right. Helena Bonham Carter is in this film. This Tim Burton film.
That's where they got together just after this movie.
Huh.
Yeah. I think
I seem to recall them being together for all of time.
Yeah, since like, like old Gothic London or whatever,
absolutely,
whatever that time is. Here we go. Oh, hang on. The cast signed on for a sequel that would explain the final scene in Washington, but it was cancelled after the film's poor critical reception.
Mm.
So there you go. Also, Tim Roth, who, again, I think he's good. He's a good villain in this. Do you remember?
Yep.
He's got the movement down pat.
Oh, yeah,
like the Michael Clark Duncan wears like this full gorilla makeup and that looks very convincing. Again, I can't compliment that enough, all that makeup. But Tim Roth turned down Snape to do this from Harry Potter.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
That is unfortunate.
But, you know, there's a million of those stories. There's so many, you know, everybody's turned down everything to be in.
Sure.
Yeah.
But look, it's okay.
But then he was in Lie to Me, so who's the winner now? Alan Rickman still.
Yeah. That premise of Lie to Me got old after the first episode.
Yes, it did.
It's like, oh, you can tell when people are lying to you. I get it. Okay, great. That was like the era when you had to have like a specific thing as a detective. Like Monk was a bloody
blah. There was an era where it was cop teaming up with like weird civilian specialist who doesn't have to play by the rules. Because it came after Jack Bauer.
Where
you could just shoot anybody. Then it turned out you couldn't just shoot anybody. So then it became you had to be a mentalist.
Numbers.
Or you had to be a Bones. Or you had to be a Numbers. Exactly. What a great era that was. It's being a specialist, you know?
Absolutely.
You didn't need a warrant because you could just be like, I'm just a guy who reads your mind or something.
Exactly. Castle's that still, isn't
it?
I haven't seen much of Castle. People like Castle, though.
Yeah, it's good. Good fun.
The Mentalist is still going, isn't it?
Surely not.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, I'm going to talk. You look it up.
Fine. Wait, who's talking?
You're talking.
You just said, I'm going to talk, you look it
up.
No,
I didn't.
That's what you said.
Go back to the tape.
This tape we're recording on this cassette.
Oh, it is an American Police. Okay, so it's still going.
Yeah, you know what's sustaining it? These golden hair.
Yes.
Simon Baker's golden
hair.
He's completely dropped the Australian accent, have you noticed that? He doesn't do it at all. He's Australian.
I know that.
Doesn't do it.
In the show.
At all.
Was he Australian in the show?
No, but he doesn't do it in life.
God, this is interesting for our listeners, isn't it?
Sure is. Nolan Barth has written in, though, Mason.
Uh-huh.
He's the official Shia LaBeouf of the show.
I remember.
Really? Because I don't think that's the first time we mentioned it. But you remember Nolan Barth.
Sure, yeah.
He says, my favorite Planet of the Apes movie is the original Planet of the Apes and with Charlton Heston. And I also love the Tim Burton's Planet of the Apes because it's great. It's fun to see how terrible it is. So I guess on that level, he enjoys it or whatever.
Yeah, I think it was a bad combination of, like... Tim Burton maybe was at some sort of creative low or like critical low point.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Wahlberg, was he at a low point as well? I don't know.
Well, I think he was on the way up.
Yeah.
But he was still very much like the 90s kind of. What's the one where he's the hitman, Mark Wahlberg?
The Big Hit.
The Big Hit. Like, that's what he was known for.
Right.
That kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, good cast. Paul Giamatti's in it.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever. And
I think, I don't know. I think maybe. Because it's Tim Burton's since done Dark Shadows, which was another sort of adaptation of a previous property. And I think maybe with Planet of the Apes, he wanted to make it a lot weirder. and creepier. Okay. But he the studio would only let him go so far.
They don't want a Batman Returns Planet of the
Precisely,
Apes.
Precisely, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. So, like, you'd want to see, like, a full-fledged Tim Burton Planet of the Apes movie.
Sure, as long as I don't have to pay for it. Why not?
Great. Best or worst...
In this fantasy world.
Best or worst... Oh, yeah. Also, there's weird... There's a kind of... You know, at the end of Planet of the Apes, Charlton Heston kisses the ape or whatever.
Yep.
And she's like, you're so ugly or whatever. At the end of this one, Marky Mark kisses the Helen Bonham Carter ape.
Yep.
But up until that point, there's like weird sexual undertones all the way through it between those two. And originally, so this ties into what you said about making a weirder one. Tim Burton wanted to make a relationship between those two. But like the interspecies kind of thing, like audience won't like that.
Absolutely.
Which they probably
not.
Wouldn't. But you can still see it's still in
I mean
the
certain
film.
Sectors, certain demos would.
Sure. There's entire quarters of the internet dedicated to just that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's okay.
Mm.
Very dated.
I'm gonna say best movie ever because of Abraham Lincoln right at the end. I don't care about the haters. I love it.
I'm gonna say worst. Okay, I can't recommend it.
Fair enough.
Yeah. But, you know, it is kind of worth checking out.
Yeah.
So, whatever.
Don't put a lot. Put 5 minutes of effort into it. Yeah. If you don't like it in the first 5 minutes, just give it up.
Yeah.
Watch something else.
Watch one of the sequels to Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
Well, that series was canned, Mason.
Yep.
They stopped it. That's now a footnote in time.
Sure is.
Rise of the Planet of the Apes. So
like Tears in Rain.
That's right. Rise of the Planet of the Apes, though, 2011.
Uh-huh.
Rebooted the franchise. Bob, do you want to talk about the story or do you want me to talk about
it? I think you should talk about the story.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah,
James Franco, right? He works for a company that's manufacturing an Alzheimer's kind of cure, and they're testing it on chimps, and they're finding that through it, they're increasing brain function of chimps.
Yep.
Basically, he wants to cure John Lithgow's Alzheimer's, who's his father in it all. Indeed. In the process of it goes horribly wrong for whatever reason, but he ends up at the start adopting this chimp from birth and raises him. And that chimp has been genetically altered where it is as intelligent as a human being without the power of speech. So we think.
Ooh.
Yeah. As the chimp grows up, like it begins to question its place in the world. Like, am I a pet? Am I a human? Am I a chimp?
Because it's wearing a leash.
Exactly.
Yeah,
there's that
and
scene
it sees a dog wearing a leash. Yeah.
And it's like, what the hell? It ends up being incarcerated in a sanctuary, or what they think is a safe place, because it saves John Lithgow, who has an amusing car accident because his Alzheimer's is coming back.
Huh?
In there, he's assaulted a lot by Draco Malfoy.
Sure, yeah.
Who I can't remember the name of, Tom something, doesn't matter, not important. And through that, he builds this ape army in there, and he kills Draco Malfoy.
Well,
in a wizarding battle.
Yeah.
And then
has he been typecast?
Yeah.
That guy?
Yeah, he's good though. Tom Felton, that's his name.
There we go, yeah.
And then basically take the apes, they have a kind of massive fight on the San Francisco Bridge and they run into the woods. And the movie ends also with the new Alzheimer's cure, which they built, which they made, is now a deadly to humans. And it's a plague that wipes out most of the world.
That's an unfortunate side effect, isn't it? Just a little bit of a side effect.
Just
know?
A little bit. What did you think of Rise of the Planet of the Apes, Rotpota?
Well, the thing about Rotpota is... Yeah, it's solid, right?
Okay, I really like it, but you're not sold on it.
I think the effects are great. I think the Andy Serkis as every monkey ever.
Killing it.
Solid,
yeah.
Really solid. I don't know. I feel that I can't see how in this scenario the humans wouldn't win.
Okay, well, I guess it's just because they got wiped out.
Yeah, I think that's probably
that's
it.
That's why
yeah.
they added that bit in.
Yeah, I think that's...
Yeah, I think originally...
I feel that's a bit too much of a plot contrivance.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
Like, unless they put... Unless this Alzheimer's cure happened to create this deadly virus that could kill everybody in the world, if that didn't happen, the battle between humans and apes would have lasted 10 minutes. Right?
I think that initially...
Because you hide in the forest... humans have thermal imaging cameras and napalm. So
how
long is that going to last, really?
But I think what would have happened, I think they won that, the apes won that initial battle purely on surprise alone.
Right, yeah.
And then I think there would have been like, say there was no disease, there would have been a push to, this. They were in the Californian forest or something, were they?
Something like that, yeah.
Like there would have been like, that's an ape sanctuary, just leave it alone.
Right.
Go near it because they're crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's how it would have gone.
Yeah.
But I think that what really drives this story, though, is the CGI.
Yep.
A really good use of CGI and Andy Serkis. James Franco
And just always Francoing around.
That's right. And Frida Pinto, I believe it is. Uh-huh. They're okay, but you can take or leave them. And there's a reason why they kind of took James Franco out of the sequel, I think, because he's not that engaging.
I was just going to say that. I feel that James Franco is very rarely engaged in a film. Sure. Like, I don't think he really cares most of the time whether he's there or not.
Have you seen Spider-Man 3, though?
Oh, yeah, he's great in that, isn't
he? Yeah.
My face or something. You're right. Yeah. But yeah, no, I guess if you see it as a setup to the sequel,
yep.
I think it's quite a solid film. But again, it doesn't really, beyond the fact that there just happened to be this weird side effect to this thing, it doesn't really feel like it's a real war between humans and apes yet.
No, you know, it absolutely. Feels kind and of, that's going to be the next one.
Yeah, I hope so, yeah.
Yeah, big time, Mason. Yeah.
And I guess you might say, well, the humans created the intelligent apes and the humans created the virus that wiped themselves out.
Mm.
But it's a coincidence, really. It's not really a battle of Planet of the Apes, is it? Really?
No.
When you think about it.
It really isn't.
Yeah.
I was going to say, this: the action sequence at the end is great, right? With, you know, on the bridge and whatever. Yep. And the bit where the gorilla takes down the helicopter is amazing. Yeah,
yeah. And the bit where the gorilla uses its magnetic powers and shifts the whole bridge over to the other side of the island. How good was that bit?
Lucky there was no Professor X there. It's Professor X him. But the sequence I really enjoy in this is when it moves away from the James Franco kind of John Lithgow thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it focuses on Caesar in the prison building up an ape army and using his intelligence to like maintain a dominance over all the other apes and gorillas.
Yeah.
Like, that in itself is very, very interesting.
Yeah.
And the way that he can use sign language and he can communicate to the other one, and then he smarts them all up with the gas, and then he sets them on Draco Malfoy.
Yeah.
Like, that's really, really great. And you see him go from this kind of like, he's shocked that he's put in there in the first place and he's betrayed.
Mm.
But then from that, he kind of rebuilds himself as this warrior leader.
Right.
That is the best part of that
movie.
Because
he's found a purpose.
Exactly. Yeah. It's because he's found a purpose. And like, he sees the injustice, you know, that's been befought.
Yes.
Befought? Is that the word? I don't know.
It is now.
It sure
Let's
is.
Let's put it on Urban Dictionary.
So, yeah. I mean, there's some nods, though, to the original films that are really forced.
Like Charlton Heston.
Like,
as Draco Malfoy.
Yeah. Well, Draco Malfoy says the "get your hands off me," whatever. He doesn't say it as well,
right?
And which, so there's stuff like that. It's like, didn't have to do it.
Yep.
I'm glad they didn't go, let's do a big twist,
right?
Like, they're like, let's tell an emotional story and whatever.
Yeah,
let's steer away from this, whatever it is, you know, and build to, you know, this new franchise. It is, though. It has nods to the original that it is kind of a reboot, because they mention the ship that goes missing, the spaceship.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not a prequel, but it's got elements of a prequel.
Does that
make sense?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, Charlton Heston was in that ship, Mason.
Ooh.
And maybe they'll eventually get to that at some point.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Do you think they'll bring him back with CGI?
I hope
and if
so.
They do, clean shaven or beard?
Beard.
Yeah, nice.
Big time. Yeah. I mean, hard to do, though. Beard's hair and it's hard to do in CGI. Also,
and they can use Arnold Schwarzenegger's current body. Weird sack body.
There was going to be like, I'm glad there was the original ending was that James Franco goes to see Caesar in the forest. You know, there's a bit where Caesar learns to talk in this, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's a really big revelation. And I like as well, he doesn't just start talking like, hello, I'm a chimp, or whatever.
Right.
Like, because apes apparently have higher, the vocal cords are placed differently.
Right.
So they, if they could somehow talk, it would be very difficult.
Right.
And that's shown in this movie that he struggles to talk. Like, it's not.
They've done a lot of research. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Some of the bouncing around stuff doesn't look as good. I think they've improved on
as
that.
As the one from the 60s. Yeah,
exactly. As the Charlton Heston bouncing around. Yeah. Like, the facial stuff's great, but some of the leaping is a bit.
Yeah.
He's a little bit off. It still looks amazing. But yeah, the original ending was James Franco goes to the forest and he's like, come back, Caesar. I'll buy us some, like, McDonald's.
I can't remember. You love McDonald's.
Yeah.
You love polyunsaturated fat, Caesar. Nom, 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 nom.
And Caesar's like, no, Caesar is home. You know, I'm staying here, whatever.
Yeah,
But originally, some people come to kill Caesar. And this is a very Hollywood death ending, and I'm glad they didn't do it. And as he shoots Caesar, James Franco leaps in front of the bullets.
Oh, no, yeah.
Terrible, right?
Yeah.
I like how they've just gone, he died from the plague, like everybody else.
Right.
So.
That sounds like that James Franco wanted them to put that in, because of how ironic it
sure,
would be.
Yeah.
Like, imagine if I was in a movie where I leapt in front of somebody, I was like, no.
It was a last minute addition. Like, they filmed it like a month before it came out because they were going to do the leaping in front of the bullet. Glad they didn't.
Ugh, no, thank you.
So, yeah, there you
but
go.
Yeah, people would have laughed in the cinema.
Oh, yeah.
That would have ruined any emotional connection you have to this ape creature.
Yeah.
You'd be like, oh, he's like a human. He's got thoughts and dreams and desires and whatever.
And a love for McDonald's.
Love for McDonald's. And you would have been like, oh, I hope he finds his way or whatever. And then Franco leaps in front of him. No. And you'd be like, what a dumb film.
So, yeah, it blew me away at the time.
Yeah.
And I was really happy. Did you see it at the cinema?
Yeah. No,
oh, no, you
didn't.
You hadn't seen it, did you? Yeah. Okay, there you go. Mm. Well, Mason, you've got no love for Planet of the Apes, then, it seems. No, you have some love.
Yeah. Was there any video games? Did they ever do a
There was a 2001 one. I put that in my video. It's horrendous.
So it's 2001.
But yeah, it's released at the same time as the Tim Burton one, but it looks like it's set in the Charlton Heston era.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'll show you some stuff.
Okay. Is there a lot of fog of war?
There's a lot of polygons.
Great.
The clip that I had a look at, you're in a prison,
uh-huh.
And an ape runs in and you pick up a block of wood, and as you pick it up, it goes to an inventory screen and it says like block of wood.
Great.
Or whatever. And then you hit the ape 40 times and it blocks most of them.
Yep, great.
It's just PlayStation 1, Mason.
Let's get some emulators. Let's do this.
You know it.
Multiplayer.
Yeah, yeah. Jamie the Dunks Duncan, though, was written in. He says, uh-huh. I'd like to say that Rise of the Planet of the Apes...
Did you add... Is that his own nickname, the Dunks?
I added the Dunks.
Great.
Now he's with
now it. He's the Dunks.
He's
Love
the
it.
Official of the Dunks of comicbookmovie.com. He goes, I'd like to say that Rise of the Planet of the Apes is, at the moment, my favourite movie of all time.
Oh.
I've seen it 3 or 4 times, and each time come out loving it.
Cool.
So he's going back to the cinema and secretly watching it?
I'd say so. Yeah, he's probably going in late at night.
Sure.
And he's bringing his own reel.
Yeah, yeah.
Film reel, yeah.
I remember, I agree with him though. That was one of my favourite movies of 2011.
Okay.
For me.
Name another one.
Thor.
Okay, there you go.
Captain American.
Oh, yeah.
Batman Begins.
Was it?
Sorry, Batman Forever.
There you go. Thank you.
I don't know. Like, famous, like action movies also. Elliot Buford says though, can we talk about how useless every human is in Dot Potter? I'm assuming he means... No, it is Dot Potter. No, it's right.
It's Rot Potter.
Rot Potter. Yeah. Anyway. Like, none of them were actual sensible human beings, especially Malfoy. What a fucking prick. So, yeah. Well, yeah, they're not the best written human characters, are they?
Not really.
Or portrayed.
But, you know, I'll take any kind of character. In a Hollywood movie, I'll take any kind of character.
Sure.
Any human doing anything.
Even a Draco Malfoy.
Correct. Okay. Thank you, yes.
Best or worst movie ever, Mason?
I'm going to go with best movie ever.
I thought
you were
going to...
I'm hoping for more with the sequel.
Yeah, me too. Well, by all accounts, it's amazing and better.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there you go.
Oh,
Mason.
In that case, worst movie ever. Twist.
There you
That's
go.
That's my twist.
Absolutely. Also, I should have mentioned this at the start, but the Planet of the Apes series kind of kicked off kind of merchandising. I think that's where George Lucas kind of got the idea to kind of make Star Wars
yeah.
Uh-huh. Merchandising kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah. So there was a lot of action figures. None of them good.
No, certainly not.
None of them
were. Was
worth
there some
anything.
Sort of battle van?
I'm sure there was.
Was there an ape blimp?
I actually found my turtle
was
van.
Was there a Planet
so.
Of the Apes pizza party van?
I was at my parents' house earlier this week and my turtle van was yes. there.
Uh-huh.
Someone was rummaging around the roof. It looked real terrible. That was a cheap...
Had you left it on the roof of your parents' house?
No, they've got like toys in the roof or whatever. So if ever I have
children. For your malformed identical twin who lives in the roof?
That's right.
Great.
His name's Malform.
Oh.
Yeah. So there you go. I guess what it's time for, Mason, is our favourite segment.
What's that?
What we read.
Oh!
What we gotta read.
Okay, great.
I'm doing a thing. What are we reading today? Alright. I'm gonna recommend Rot Potter if you haven't seen it. Watch it in preparation for Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. But I've got other things to say about other stuff.
Okay.
There are Planet of the Apes comics. We talked about them, didn't we? But I couldn't really find any, like...
Yeah,
more
adaptations.
I think
Marvel had the license for a while. Yeah.
I googled some stuff and I'm like, none of this stuff is really...
Uh-huh.
I'm interested in reading.
Yep.
So I didn't check any out. What do you going to read?
I'm going to recommend Angel and the Ape, which was a short-lived DC comic series from like the early 90s. About a detective agency. And one is a pretty lady and one is an ape. How do you like that?
I like that a lot.
It's good, right? Yeah.
I'm going to recommend Every Which Way But Loose, which is a prequel to Planet of the Apes.
Incorrect.
If you don't know what it is, look it up. That'll make sense to you.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to recommend Mark Waid's Incorruptible. And you actually recommended this to me.
I did, yeah.
Because I read
Irredeemable,
which is great. And I've started reading. I'm nearly finished.
And this is sort of a sidequel.
Yeah, it's a sidequel. I don't think it's as good as Irredeemable.
Yeah,
but
okay,
it's still
yeah.
quite good, and it ties in really well. I mean, I haven't finished it, so I shouldn't really... talk about it. But basically, in Irredeemable, I mentioned this before, is about a superhero who's kind of like Superman.
Mm.
He is, basically.
But he doesn't have the moral compass that Superman
he snaps
was born with, yeah.
He's like the biggest mass murder genocidal maniac of all time.
Mm.
And in Incorruptible, there's a villain called Max Power who is invulnerable. There's more to his powers than just that.
Mm-hmm.
But I won't spoil it. And he, after he sees the what's his name, the guy who snaps,
I can't remember, it's annoying, the plutonium,
yeah, sorry, and he basically turns his life around. He sees the plutonium snap, turns his life around, decides, well, look, there are no heroes anymore, really.
Yep.
Well, there are, but not, you know, but I got to change my ways because this guy's killing everybody.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Anything else to read?
Nah.
I'm going to recommend the movie Any Which Way You Can, which is
the sequel to
Any Which Way But Loose.
Wow. And a sidequel to Conquest of the Planet of the Apes.
Aaron Nichols has written in, though. I thought maybe I could include some listeners what we read and what we
read. Okay, I'd like to hear that.
He's the official nemesis and official Nick Mason of the podcast.
Yeah, fair enough. Movie.com. He got it first.
He did. It's called Steel Heart by Brandon Sanderson and has a world where every single person who manifests powers... called the Epics, turned out to be evil.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
It is.
What's it called, sorry?
It's called Steelheart. And it's basically about a kid called David who wants to be an invulnerable epic called Steelheart, and he seeks a group of freedom fighters called the Reckoners. Ooh. So, yeah, well, off the back of Irredeemable and whatnot, I think I might give that a read.
Yeah, cool.
Or not.
Have you ever read Top 10?
No, what's
it's,
that?
It's an Alan Moore book, a comic, rather.
Yeah.
Comic
book. Oh, I know it, so yeah.
And it's set... in a city, it's set in the 10th precinct of a city, 10th police precinct of a city where everybody has superpowers.
Sure.
It's really fun.
Okay.
Super good fun.
Should I check it out?
Yeah, check it out, mate.
All right.
Yeah.
That's what we're reading for this, Mace.
Love it.
Week.
Mm.
We did it.
We sure did. We did it once again.
All right. Got some listener emails this week though, Mason.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to read this one to you first.
I'm ready.
Hello, I am Duck, official aquatic life form of the Weekly Planet podcast.
Oh, love it.
I don't like ducks. Have I mentioned that before?
Yeah.
Like, killed that duck that time.
Yeah.
Sorry, ducks don't like me. Because they attack me often.
Correct.
Anyway, question.
I'm ready.
Do you think Planet of the Apes, the next one after Dawn, will be a remake of the original Planet of the Apes with Taylor and his crew landing and finding the apes? So do you think basically the one after Dawn will be the Charlton Heston
one? Do we know
one?
If there's a third one on the way?
That's in the works,
In the works, okay. It'd have to be, right?
I don't think so.
I don't think they can rely on there being... I don't think they can rely on there being more than three of anything these days.
Sure.
Really.
But I think also the main character in those movies is Caesar. And if you set it in the far-flung future, there is no Caesar.
That's true.
Also, actually, you lose the twist.
Yeah. I don't think they could do a remake.
Not exactly.
Yeah, they couldn't do a remake of the original.
But I think they've clearly set it up that they might do that one day.
Yeah.
So it's possible.
I would like to see the third one much closer to the apocalyptic Planet of the Apes future.
Sure.
But
you want to see the telepathic humans.
Yeah, telepathic humans worship a bomb. Yeah.
Anyway, he says, thanks from Duck.
Thank you, Duck.
Callum McDonald's written in and he said, I was thinking you guys should start a Let's Play channel. You know what a Let's Play is, Mason?
It's when you play a video game. You're like, hey, look at me, I'm playing a video game. Woo, look at this. Oh.
He said, I was thinking you could play comic book related games or you can play your favorite games. Either way, I'm sure it would rock. Would it rock?
I might rock.
I thought about doing a Let's Play, and I thought we could do them together. Like maybe play some like 90s like Marvel DC beat 'em ups.
Oh, we could
whatever.
Play Superman 64.
Oh god.
Look, we've got a lot of options, really.
We do.
Yeah.
I'd like to do that one day. I don't know if I can do it anytime soon, but would you be interested in that?
Let's do that.
Also, I'd have to get some like screen capturing recording.
I was
and
just
stuff.
Thinking that there's got to be some software. We'll have to like we'll ask around.
Yeah, sure. Do you know anything about technology?
Also, we'll have to find a TV that's old enough to run a Nintendo 64 through it.
Oh, yeah, good point.
Yeah.
Maybe we could do emulators.
Oh, what a nightmare we found ourselves into.
Thanks a lot, Callum.
Callum, you maniac. You blew it up.
So, yeah, would you say no time soon? But maybe.
Yeah, at some point.
Sure. Maybe we could even do a once-off one every now and then. Jonathan Serrano. A Serrano? Serrano. He's the official New Yorker with an actual New York accent. I would argue that we have actual...
Yeah, exactly.
Is that what he's implied?
Yeah. I think so.
Anyway.
We've yet to hear his, so let's see what happens.
Do you guys like certain anime series? For example, Dragon Ball, Full Metal Alchemist, other ones?
Not for a long time. I'm not averse to learning about some new ones. I don't know. I was always a big fan of Akira, but that's not really a series, is it?
No.
Yeah. Holds up, I think.
Yeah, I think so too.
If you like giant, sweaty flesh monsters.
Yes.
Crushing cities.
Yes, I do.
Oh, great. Then, yeah, definitely, yeah. Yeah.
I've talked about this before.
Ghost in the Shell. I was a big fan of that one. Yeah, saw that in the cinema.
Yeah. Mm. I quite like, I do like Dragon Ball. Well, Dragon Ball Z specifically. I love the Dragon Ball Z Budokai fighting games.
They're very good.
Specifically 3.
I've broken a couple of those controllers.
My controllers,
yeah, your
I
controllers
remember.
Playing that. Yeah.
Oh, you've kicked the microphone.
No, it's fine.
It's fine. Yep. Yeah, yeah. I love that game. Mm. But there's never been one as good, I think, since. They tried to do a 3D fighting Dragon Ball game where you can fly anywhere.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't work.
Right.
They've never...
You need to be constrained a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, for me, Dragon Ball Z, but I'm open to whatever. Also, do you like Team 4 Star? The YouTube channel. They take all the old Dragon Ball Z episodes. They keep the basic storyline, but they re-edit it and re-voice them, so they make it into a comical kind of retelling.
Cool.
It's really well done, really good production values. For me, it's almost ruined Dragon Ball Z because I think it's more entertaining.
Right. I was just thinking, actually, because we just did an episode on Transformers and the old Transformers cartoon episodes. Isn't it amazing? Like when you look back at an old Japanese animation series like Robotech or whatever.
Yeah.
So much better.
Oh yeah.
Same era.
Yeah, yeah.
Why were the Japanese stuff so much better? Why is the American stuff so terrible?
Couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
Money.
Discipline, probably.
Karate. Honor.
Yeah, honor. Definitely. Those things.
Sure. Mm. Thanks, Jonathan.
Yeah, yeah. Ghost in the Shell. If you haven't seen that. No? I mean, there was a series standalone complex. Which came out a few years later.
Mm.
I don't think it's quite as good as the film, but there you go. Yeah.
How many episodes?
8?
I'll make this easy for you. How many minutes if you added them all up?
Oh, 8.
Great.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm probably going to think of 10 more anime series that I really enjoy as soon as this episode's over.
That's fine. Yep. We can talk about it next week or edit them in or whatever.
Yeah.
He says, this is from the official non-Mexican Ricardo Montalban.
Oh.
Okay, he says...
I like the sound of that.
Yeah, in our X-Men commentary, I don't remember doing this, but apparently I said, I don't think Wrath of Khan is that good.
You did say that, yeah.
Did I?
Yeah, absolutely did.
Look, he's right then, I did say that. That's probably an unfair thing to say, which I said just flippantly. I'd say, but you look at, Wrath of Khan and Empire Strikes Back, which is better?
Yeah, but they're different things.
I know, you're right. Wrath of Khan
is more like...
If you like slow space battles,
it's more like
where you outwit the enemy by going down and then coming up behind
them. It's more like a submarine war game.
It is.
But I think Wrath of Khan changed that. It is quite slow, but those action sequences, they changed the way we see space battles because they were using all three dimensions.
Yeah.
Up until that point, it was the Matrix of really slow space battles because essentially before that, it was just too... It'd just be two spaceships just coming at each other very slowly and just shooting. Exactly. But then, we realize we've got so many dimensions. If you look at, the Star Trek reboots.
Yeah.
There's stuff coming from all over the place.
Too many stuffs.
And, yeah, I know, right? Too many lens flares, certainly. But that's, because we realized that we could operate in that many dimensions.
Cool.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
So shut up about Star Trek 2. Save your hate for Star Trek 5.
Fair point.
Yeah.
Which I haven't seen.
It's the worst one.
He says, you regret this, James. I should read this thread out. It's only polite.
And especially if you come up missing.
Yeah, that's right.
In a week or so, we'll know who to call.
I'll chase you around the moons of Nibia and round the Antares Maelstrom and round Perdition Flames. I'm butchering all those, aren't I?
That's all right. We can just play the clip from Star Trek 2.
Good point. Before I give it up. To the last, I'll grapple with thee from hell's heart. I stab at thee. For hate's sake, I spit my last breath at thee. Is he dying?
Can I take this one?
Spit his...
Can
sure.
I?
Sure.
Khan! Khan! It's weird that he does yell at because in that sequence, Kirk knows the way out.
He knows he's tricked him.
He's tricked him already, yeah. Khan can't hear him.
Yeah.
He just wanted to yell Khan.
Also, can I
still
just...
Still a good film, I enjoy it.
Yeah, sure. You're right. Mm. He also says... As I said, he's the official non-Mexican Ricardo Montalban of the Weekly Planet podcast, but I would argue that Benedict Cumberbatch is the official non-Mexican Ricardo Montalban.
Well, has Cumberbatch emailed?
He hasn't emailed it, you're
so
right.
He loses out, doesn't
you're
he?
Right. Yeah. Thanks, Khan. I'm sorry I said that thing. I am wrong. I am wrong. For once.
Oh. Big call, but all right.
Wade Reese, the official David Hasselhoff, he's written it and he says, I know you have a rule about only having Shia LaBeouf news or Batman versus Superman news in one episode, but what if they're the same? What if Shia LaBeouf is cast or he shows up on the set and acts like a maniac or something? what would you guys do?
Oh, that's a really good question.
I've got my answer here.
Okay, go ahead.
I had time to think about this.
Yeah, absolutely.
I said we'd quit and we throw all the recording equipment into a landfill. You know, like they did with the ET cartridges.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah, we could steamroll over them. That's actually, I'm actually looking forward to it because I haven't used a steamroller before.
Oh, good. So. Did you say you have?
No, I haven't.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I thought you had a really good steamroller story to tell. That's
annoying. No, sir.
Yeah, so I don't know. I would love that though. That I'd break the rule for that.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
I mean, we've
yeah.
broken it before.
But... I mean, we don't. Yeah, I mean, it's we don't really have any. But there's no rules here, man. But I feel we could that would be an additional category.
Yeah,
I think in addition to we could have a Man of Steel. We could have Batman versus Superman news or Shia LaBeouf news plus Shia LaBeouf crashes the set of Batman versus Superman news.
Like, demands to be Robin.
Correct.
Yeah. This is from Robert Mason. He says, my mom, I'm going to say mum. I haven't said it before.
Please,
I can't say. Weird. My mum loves two things. Superhero movies and...
I thought she was going to say us.
No.
Okay.
Superhero movies and frogs. Not real frogs, though. Real frogs creep her out. But she loves frogs in any other medium. Anyways, I want to get my mum a present and I want to get her a Frog Thor comic, but I have no clue what a good Frog Thor comic is. Any thoughts?
Isn't there just the one? It's just the one, surely. I'm going to look up Frog Thor. If there's more than one, that's going to be weird. Because he got turned into a frog, magic.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, actually, no.
Or was there one that...
I think there was a frog.
That got the powers
and
of Thor.
And it touched a fragment of Mjolnir.
Yeah.
The magic hammer, and then it became...
Was that in that Avengers universe where Captain America and whatever?
Yeah, they all teamed up. There's like the pet Avengers.
Pet Avengers,
yeah. Throg.
So you're going to recommend Throg?
Look, I don't know if this mom is a real mom or not, or he just wanted us to talk about Throg, but we're talking about Throg, aren't we?
Yes, we are. What can you tell us about Throg? I mean, you said some stuff already.
Hang on, wait. Actually, no, he was a man. He was a college football player. He was injured during a game. He'd never play again. He was cursed and he was turned into a frog.
By who?
Like some
Loki
sort of,
or something?
No, some sort of mystic.
Okay.
Mystic type. Anyway, et cetera, et cetera. He became Throg. Frog of Thunder. Anyway.
Check it out.
Anyway, there they are with the Pet Avengers.
Check it out, Robert's mum.
Yeah, totally. Pet Avengers.
And happy birthday,
Lockjaw.
Robert's mum. Yeah.
That dragon that Kitty Pryde's always hanging out with, his name I can't remember.
Draglo.
No.
Drag Race.
No.
Drag Me to Hell.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. She's always hanging out with a DVD copy of Drag Me to Hell.
Thanks, Robert. Yep. Well, I wish your mum a happy birthday from us.
Yeah, happy birthday.
And if you want us to sign a copy of it, probably don't worry about it.
Yeah, that'd take a long time.
It'll only devalue
it. Take a real long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, last letter for the week, Mason.
Okay, I'm ready.
And then we got to go.
Okay.
S. Potter, female nerd of the podcast, official.
Cool.
She has an anecdote, so I'm going to read this to you.
I'm ready.
Okay.
Are we involved? Did we meet
no.
her at some point?
No. Years ago, while at Six Flags. Now, that's like,
theme
for
park.
Those who don't know, including me, it's like a big theme park, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Years ago, while at Six Flags Magic Mountain, the rest of my family, except me...
I think that's the best one.
Oh, is it?
Six Flags and Magic Mountain,
okay.
I think that's the best one. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, yeah.
The rest of my family, except me, because I didn't want to stop riding roller
coasters. Lockheed is the name of the dragon.
What?
Continue.
Lockheed.
Yes.
You ever read Lock and Key?
Yeah, I hear it's good.
Yeah, it's really good. Anyway. Sorry. Years ago, while at Six Flags Magic Mountain...
The best one. Yep.
The rest of my family, except me, because I didn't want to stop riding roller coasters, went to see the Batman live show they had.
Oh, a stunt show.
I know, right? Apparently the show started and Batman came down on a zip line and crashed to the ground, ending the show just started.
She
says here, I clearly made the correct decision. I would argue that is the wrong decision.
That is
decision.
Definitely the wrong decision. Look, I hate rides. I'm not a ride guy. I hate them.
I hated them when I was a kid. I love them now.
That's
except anything that spins.
Right.
Can't handle that.
Yeah, too old. Vomit.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, it's fine. You should believe whatever you want, but I would definitely have much rather have seen. I mean, it was going to happen anyway. There's no way for us to stop it. I feel bad that guy probably injured himself quite severely.
He's probably dead.
He's probably dead. But look, that was going to happen regardless of whether you were there or not. Probably should have seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If anybody, including you, S. Potter, has a copy of that on tape.
Yep, we'd like to see
it. Put it on YouTube.
Yeah, definitely.
I need... Unless it's already on YouTube.
Oh, maybe.
It's from the mid-90s, though. Who knows?
No, but people are on anything like old handy cam footage all the time.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
All right.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe it happens every week.
That's the show?
That's the show.
It's the Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark of Batman live shows.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I went to Movie World. We have, for those who don't know, we have at Queensland, there's a whole lot of theme parks.
Air quotes, Hollywood on the Gold
Coast. That's what they call it. There wasn't a lot of stuff there when I was a kid. There was more stuff now. They've had like the Lethal Weapon ride, do you remember?
Yeah.
And they had a Batman.
Hang on, the Lethal Weapon ride was just... You
it was
off.
A roller coaster.
And there was one, I think there was one and it was just like...
I think you're thinking of the Tower of Terror.
Right, but there was one and it was themed like an action movie. It was just, you go up like on like an elevator thing in like a plane seat and then they just drop you.
Like an action movie.
Yeah, like in Lethal Weapon. Yeah.
But yeah, they had the Batman ride there,
where
you go into the Batcave and there's Batman and he's talking to Alfred. It's the Tim Burton Batman Returns.
Yep.
And then you go into a room that tilts and you're watching a screen.
Uh-huh.
And it goes for like 3 minutes. And it was really awesome but disappointing because it went for like 3 minutes. But they had a Police Academy live show.
The Police Academy stunt show.
You've
I
seen it,
that.
Right? It was there for how many years?
Forever.
60 years.
I never went, but those ads went for like a decade.
Easily. Probably. Do you remember the most...
Long after The Shine came up. Police Academy,
yeah,
surely.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But do you remember the bit from the ad, which is the most important bit from that?
There was an explosion and people dove away from the explosion.
Do you remember the car flip?
Yeah, okay, I remember the car
flip. Okay, well, yeah. Anyway, there's a very famous car flip, well, famous, where it explodes and the car's on a crane, on like a
like
an
a jack?
Arm.
Yep.
Yeah, and it flips. And I'm like, this is what I'm here for. So there's wacky comedy and they take a guy from the audience, but he's clearly part of the show and he's getting run over and it's jokes and whatever. And then the car explodes. I'm like, this is it. And it didn't move.
Wow.
I should have been riding rides.
Absolutely.
Not S. Potter. That's correct. What I'm saying. We both made the wrong choices.
Yeah.
That's right.
Oh man. That's so disappointing for everyone.
I mean, presumably though, it's still going, so I could just go back.
Yeah, absolutely. That'll never end. Do you think the Police Academy stunt show didn't start... Like, it didn't end with stunts, but it began with, like, raunchy sex stuff, because that's how the Police Academy franchise began. Yeah.
Do you reckon that was a time...
I once saw a showing of The Phantom of the Opera, and they didn't drop the chandelier for safety reasons.
But that's the point of The Phantom of the Opera.
I know,
so what happened when intermission
hits? One time I went to Euro Disney, and they had a Star Wars kind of ride thing, and all the characters were speaking in French, and I didn't appreciate it. Like, C-3PO all talking in French.
He's all civil play.
Yeah.
Leb Falcon.
Ugh.
What a joke. Was he wearing a little beret?
You know he was.
I knew he was.
Yeah.
I just wanted to hear it.
Yeah.
So, nice. Yeah. Well, Mason, have you got any more theme park stories?
That's about it, really.
They had a Gremlins experience, which was quite interesting.
Uh-huh.
Did you ever go to Movie World Hollywood on the Gold
Coast?
No,
I never did. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah. If you're going to go, probably don't.
Okay, good.
I met Batman. That was cool.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Mid-90s. Man, what a time.
Yeah.
Thank you to the Brute and the Basilisk for the themes.
Absolutely. Thank you,
love
guys.
Love them. Mm. Love them. I do put them in every week, Mason. You probably don't realize. Like I could not be doing them. You don't know.
Who knows? You may never release these. I never download them, so
that's
who's to
true.
Say?
Yeah. Just making up emails all week. Check out my YouTube channel, youtube.com/MrSundayMovies, if you want to see that Planet of the Apes review, and then Superman suit one and something about Transformers, whatever, who cares?
A lot of comments telling you to stop talking about Transformers. We get the message, we don't want to talk about Transformers either.
I wasn't going to, do I? But then you talked about the statutory scene from Transformers, and I wanted to put that in a video, so I built a video around.
Fantastic.
So I could put that section in. So, yeah.
So in many ways, this is my fault.
Yeah, sure.
Great.
But yeah. I said I wasn't going to do another Transformers one, but I did it. I'm alive.
Life's funny sometimes, isn't it?
Sure is.
Yeah.
Where can they reach you, Mason?
They can find me at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter.
Sure. Mm. I told you this before the show, but people loved the ending to the last episode.
Well, I got nothing this week, so
yes.
We can't even try.
You don't. That'd be like a Planet of the Apes sequel, just less effort put in.
Yep.
Less poor costumes.
Lower budget.
Yep. So, yeah, you can find me at Mr. Sunday Movies on Twitter and Facebook and YouTube.
Yep.
Also, I'm on a Watch Mojo list, apparently. I should have mentioned that. There's a top 10 YouTube critics, and I'm like number 19. First, I'm not a YouTube critic. I'm barely this.
You're very critical of YouTube.
Yes, that's true.
Their poor handling of you.
That's right.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you want to go, you know, Google top 10, whatever, you can vote, and apparently they'll make a video of the top 10. I doubt I'll get in it. The only reason I'd get in is because not enough people know me to downvote me.
Right.
That's the only reason I'd get in. But yeah, I doubt that's going to happen.
Well, stranger things have happened.
They have. But thank you to whoever put me on there and whoever's been voting.
Yeah.
It's running something thumbs up.
No need to thank me. You're very welcome.
But if we
staying at home, just clicking all day.
If we did get on that, right, it's not the be all and end all. Who cares? But that would help this particular show. And we'd sell out. And that's the dream.
That is the dream, absolutely. Sell out to the highest bidder. Or any bidder, ultimately.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You can find us also at Weekly Planet Pod at Gmail, Twitter, Facebook.
That's right. Mm. Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, check out the first class thing or don't. We're hoping to get another commentary out soon. We're not going to say when or what it is because people will harass us until we do it. Yeah. We're hoping to.
We don't like being cyberbullied, guys.
So we'll try, won't we, Mason?
Yes.
We will.
Yeah.
And people love the Shia LaBeouf song as well.
Oh yeah, the actual Cannibal Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah, it's pretty
good fun. Yeah.
So yeah. Oh, you know what? I'm gonna mention who sung that because I feel bad that I didn't mention the name of the guy.
Uh-huh.
I'm gonna quickly Google it.
Okay.
Yeah, someone said on Twitter to me. They said, "Listen, how many times have people asked you about the
actual Cannibal Shia LaBeouf?"
Yeah, and nobody has actually brought it up before. Like it's just something that I knew that I just neglected to mention, but nobody had mentioned it. Music by musician Rob Cantor. Oh, he does that thing at the moment where he does like 29 impressions in one. In one song, and he does like, and it's really he's got some skills. That guy, there you go.
Yeah,
actual Cannibal Shia LaBeouf. All right, that's the show, Mason. Got anything else?
That's it.
Just get out there, guys.
Get out there, embrace it, whatever it is.
Big time.
Yeah. Planet of the Apes.
Planet of the Apes.
Okay, bye. Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.